Okay, I'm Eric Foner, DeWitt Clinton Professor of History at Columbia University.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Foner. Looking at your essay on the Preserving American Freedom site, I wondered if you could summarize for us why the idea of freedom is so contested throughout American history in particular.
Right. Well, I think ironically, the reason is that is the very centrality of freedom in our political language and political culture. Ever since the colonial era, and certainly the American Revolution, when the nation was founded, according to the people who led the revolution, as an asylum for freedom, as Tom Paine called it, or an empire of liberty, as Jefferson called it, the notion of freedom, the notion of the United States as a refuge for people seeking freedom from around the world, has been central to our sense of ourselves as a nation. And that very ubiquity, you might say, of the idea of freedom has meant that every group has tried to claim it, tried to put their own aspirations into the language of freedom. And therefore, it's been both a unifying theme and also a very contested idea as different people and different groups stake their claim to new rights and greater rights in the language of freedom.
In the essay that you wrote, is there anything in particular that you would point to that you think would help teachers stress these points in the classroom?
Well, I think, I'm a scholar primarily of the 19th century, although I have written all across American history, and I think the whole slavery controversy is rife with contested ideas about freedom and really illuminates this theme of how different groups try to use the idea of freedom to claim a greater status for themselves. You know, although it's incongruous to us, Southerners insisted before the Civil War that slavery was the foundation of freedom. The really free people were the slave owners. They were freed from labor, they could devote themselves to higher callings, and that slaves themselves, blacks, because of their supposed inferiority, were more free as slaves than they would be as liberated people. On the other hand, of course, abolitionists in the North, both black and white, put forward a completely different vision of what freedom should mean in America. They tried to strip the idea of race away from freedom to say that the essence of the United States was that everybody should be able to enjoy the same basic rights regardless of the accident of birth, of skin color. And so, in a certain sense, the sectional conflict was a conflict over the meaning of freedom as well as many other things. And I think teachers can use that to illuminate this point about freedom always being a sort of contested ideal. I think the largest misconception, which I know this from many teachers who use books of mine related to freedom in high school classes, is the idea that freedom is just a constant. It's been the same thing over the whole course of American history. And, when people are talking about freedom in the 18th century or the 19th century, it's sort of the same thing as today. And that's certainly not the case. And I think the notion of freedom has changed many times in our history. And once students see that, not all do, but once students get it, a light bulb, I mean, I've heard teachers say this, a light bulb goes on over their head, and they suddenly develop a completely new interest in and perspective on many, many different periods and movements in American history. Once they see that freedom is not a fixed idea, not a sort of predetermined concept, they really enjoy studying history a lot more when they can see the evolution of freedom and the contests over freedom taking place.
When you think about preserving American freedom, what do you think are the important aspects of it that could lead to that sort of change in students' thinking and ability to understand history?
Well, I think the website is a very valuable tool for introducing students to the concept of freedom and what it's meant at different points in American history and how different groups have tried to utilize it. You know, I think it is very valuable to put these primary documents in front of students and enable them to see, you know, to see the words of people of the time rather than simply the, you know, outlook of historians, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's what's really important about the Preserving American Freedom site, that it has a very well-selected group throughout America, you know, covering the course of all of American history, which really can enable students to see the various ways the notion of freedom has been used. So I think that, you know, that's why it probably is very valuable for teachers to introduce in the classroom. Whenever I teach a large lecture course, for example, I'm giving one this coming semester on the Civil War era, I always include, along with scholarly works on different aspects of the period, a book of primary documents, which every week the students will read a few of those, as well as to supplement or to go along with the historical interpretations. Sometimes the documents are chosen in order to cut against the interpretation that a historian is presenting, sometimes to reinforce it. But yes, I think primary documents give students a more visceral sense of the reality of a period.
Are there any particular primary sources that you recall within Preserving American Freedom, perhaps, mm-hmm. that you would highlight?
They're all important. That's why it's a good website, because not one of them is sort of eccentric or, you know, marginal, so to speak, to American history. You know, I have a couple of favorites, but that's just my own sentiment. For example, given my particular interest in the 19th century, I am very taken with the excerpt from the diary of William Still, the Underground Railroad leader in Philadelphia, what is called Journal C. I don't know what happened to Journals A and B, but it's called Journal C, and where he recorded information about fugitive slaves who came through Philadelphia, where they came from, how they escaped, talked about aspects of their lives. And just a few pages is excerpted on the website, but it'll give students both a real, you know, personalized insight into slavery, the experience of individual slaves, real people, not just a kind of an abstraction, but also this contradiction. It really highlights the contradiction of freedom and slavery coexisting in the same society. You know, as I said before, we think of the general ideology of the United States is that this is a place people come to in order to enjoy freedom. Yet here are Americans, slaves, but Americans, who had to flee the country. They're being sent by William Still up to New York and then upstate New York and then Canada. They had to get to Canada to enjoy freedom. We don't usually think about people having to leave the United States to enjoy freedom. We think they have to come to the United States. But here is the reverse. Slavery puts people in the position where they cannot really enjoy freedom in this society. And so it shows the great contradiction that slavery represented to the basic values of the society, and I think it's a very valuable document for that purpose, for that reason.
And my final question, a little more philosophic perhaps, but taking off what you were just saying, and that is, how might teachers use these documents from the past to talk about concepts of freedom today?
Well, I think they can in a careful way. Obviously, documents from 200 years ago are not necessarily directly related to the present day, but I think the main point is that there are many ideas about freedom out there. There is not just one. It's not just, you know, sometimes, as I said before, freedom is kind of the central idea in American political language, political culture. Sometimes we feel that this gives us the right to kind of just sort of go around the world instructing everybody in what freedom is, you know. It leads to the idea that we don't really have anything to learn from anybody else. We forget that other people have thought about the question of freedom, and we might think about what they have concluded. There are, you know, and even ideas that seem very alien to us may have something to do with the idea of freedom. So I think what these documents, a teacher can use these documents to suggest that students ought to have, that given the contested nature of our own history of freedom, that we ought to have an open mind about debates going on in other countries today about what freedom is and other expressions of freedom that seem unfamiliar to us, rather than just saying, oh, well, we know what freedom is and we're going to tell you what it is and we don't need to listen or hear what other people are saying. So if these documents can be used to encourage an open-minded encounter with the rest of the world rather than just a kind of parochial one, I think that would be very valuable in a very globalized world we live in today.